So we're on Daf Nun Hamid Beis, and we're up to Amar Abizna. I'll try to see if I can figure out exactly where it is. It's towards the bottom. Amar Abizna, it's, I would say about 10 lines up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 lines up from the bottom.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Okay. So now, let's see what we know. We're talking about dreams, and the Gemara here has a whole long list of Rabbonim, you know, one in the name of the other, Omer Rabbi Bizna Bar Zavda, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Panda, Omer Rabbi Nachum, you can almost sing it, Omer Rabbi Birim, Mishum Zoken Echad Umanu, Rav Bana. So we finally found out who says this. It's Rav Bana, Rabbi Bana. Esrim v'arba posrei chalomos hayu b'Yerushalayim. There are 24 interpreters of dreams in the city of Yerushalayim. Pam achas chalamti chalom. So Rabbanu says that he had a dream. V'alachti etzel kulam. I guess he waited online for each one of these 24 interpreters. Each one came up with a different interpretation of the dream. But the Pella is, the cool on this kind would be. And I guess at one time or another, they all actually came to fruition, all 24 interpretations. And this fulfills that which it says, like a pasuk somewhere. Kol achalomos holchim achara pet. That the mouth has a tremendous power to interpret dreams, and the dreams will come true based on what the pair with the mouth interprets. And he has a note here in the name of the Marsha that we find, for example, a phrase in Chazal, I think it's a Gemara Megillah, Altia kilas hejot kala beinecha, and Altia birchas hejot kala beinecha. So these statements mean that a bracha or chasron, the opposite, that come out even from an ordinary person, they have an impact. And all this is based on the power of the mouth. And he goes on to say that the koach ha-peh of a man is something that could take the potential of the dream and actualize it, as long as it's somehow related to the dream itself. It's got to reflect to some extent you know, some parts of the dream, but there's a tremendous amount of power here in the mouth. So now the Gemara asks the following question. He says, L'kayim asher nemar, which means that there's some sort of a pasuk, and he says, Otu kol achalomos holchem al peh krohu. Is there some pasuk somewhere in Tanakh that says, quote, kol achalomos holchem achar peh? So the Gemara says, there is such a pasuk. Ukidivre Rabbi Elazar, we'll have to quote Rabbi Elazar, the Yom Rabbi Elazar, Minayin Shekol Achalomos Holchem Achar HaPeh. What's the source in the Torah that the dreams are interpreted by the mouth? Shenemar, because it says in Bereishis Perek Mem Aleph, you remember the Saramashkim tells Paro about this fellow named Joseph in the you know, back in the pit, who interpreted dreams, and he interpreted my dream and the dream of the baker, and then he says, "Vayhi kasher pasar lanu kein haya," exactly the way Yosef interpreted it. That's how it came to pass. So we see, says Rabbi Elazar, that there is power in the mouth to interpret the verse and make it into kind of a prophecy that will be fulfilled. Omar Rava Vahu, but there's one condition, and that is the Mefasher, he interprets lay the dream, Me'ein Cholme, something that is Me'ein the dream. In other words, he doesn't just come up with some fantastical prophecy, but rather whatever he says, you could see it in the dream. The interpretation is close to the actual vision of the dream. Shenemar Ish Kachalomo Pasar. And in the same chapter, in the same episode, it says, Ish kachalomo pasar. So once again, I have a footnote here in which he quotes a medrash that the Sar HaOfim had a not only his dream, but he also saw Yosef in his own dream. He, in addition to his own dream, relevant to say, he also saw the interpretation by the exact interpretation of Yosef's interpretation of the dream for the Sar Mashkim, and vice versa. The Sar Mashkim saw the interpretation of Yosef's dream of the Sar Ofim. So each one had a sense that this was a real, genuine interpretation. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hishkim v'nafalo pasuk l'soch piv, harezu nevua ktana. If a person wakes up from his bed and some sort of a pasuk just falls into his mouth, and I guess he expresses that pasuk, then that's a small kind of a nevua. Part of that pasuk is going to definitely come to fruition. Let me just see if there's any other additional point here. Just 1 second. I have here something. I guess whenever you get something revealed to you when you immediately wake up, then it means that it's part, some small part of prophecy. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Chalomos Miskaimim. There are three categories of dreams that will come to fruition. Number one is Chalom Shel Shachris, which means that before daybreak, in the last of the Mishmaros, during the night, very close to Alos HaShachar, V'chalom Shecholem Lo Chavero, and if, let's say, his friend dreams something about him, and three, Chalom She Niftar Biso Chalom, that when you see in your dream also an interpretation of a dream. Is it the interpretation of the same dream? I'm not sure. But in any event, the Marsha says there are three chalomos, which are mitiyim, which are true, and they will come to pass. And that's even without an interpretation. The first one is a chalom shel shachris, and these are dreams that a person dreams at the beginning of the night. I thought it was at the end of the night. He says the beginning of the night. And they come as a result of thoughts that he had in his heart during the day. V'chein machmas oshan hamachilim hamachol shochal b'yom. I guess from the vapors of the food that he ate that day. Shematrido umarbev sichlo b'dvarim b'telim. These are foodstuffs that will confuse his mind. Now, why is the Marsha saying that this is the first category of true dreams that will come to pass? So he says, "Vehein machmas ashed," that there's some sort of demon that brings about this dream, and shav yidaberu aval. Oh, so I'm sorry. So that's at the beginning of the night. Oh, so if he has a, I'm sorry. If he has a dream at the beginning of the night, this is very confusing because he says shalosha chalomos elu hein amitiyim. HaChalom HaRishon is B'tchilas HaLayla. It sounds like it's very confusing, like that's the first of the three dreams that are true dreams. But actually, this dream he dreamt at the beginning of the night, and it's just an impact of the thoughts that he had before he went to sleep, and that dream comes from the shade, and therefore Shav Yedaber, that's not a true dream. Aval Chalom Shalom Chalem Somach La'alos HaShachar, that's after he slept the whole night, and he's already sort of cut himself off from all the thoughts, the hirhurim that he had at the beginning of the day. That's a true chalom, and it comes through a malach rather than a shade. So that's category number one. Category number two is chalom shecholam olav chavero. His friend dreamt about him, and he says that chalom kaseh b'derchal eino bo machmas hirhurim shehira b'yom. This dream, this kind of a dream, is not as a result of the thoughts that he had during the day. Lefisha Adam Maharer al Yoni Atzma Vlo al Yoni Chaver, doesn't usually dream about what's going to happen to his friend, and therefore it's logical to assume that this is a true dream. And the third category, he says, is chalom sheniftar b'soch chalom. Hainu shemistaber shepitrono yep kipteron sherab chalom. He says that since he found an interpretation of the dream in the dream itself, v'lo kishar chalomos shepitronam holech achar peh, he says that this is a true chalom. And now the Gemara adds, I think, another category. Yesh Omer is another opinion. Says the Gemara, Af Chalom Shenishne, if he has the same dream twice, then it definitely will come to fruition. Shenemar, this is again the interpretation of Yosef to Paro's dream. Paro had the dream twice, and Yosef says, Al Hishanosa Chalom, why did you have the dream twice? In order, Nochon Dover Mim Hashem, it's going to happen very quickly. Om Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Om Rav Yonasan Ein Marim Loli Adam Elamehur Hure Libo. When a person has a dream, it's based on what his thoughts are that he thinks about during the day. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Daniel, with regard to Daniel, who was talking to Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, Ant Malka Rayonach Al Mishkovcha Sliku. Right, Daniel's written in Aramaic, so let's see if we can translate this into Hebrew. Atah HaMelech Hayher Hurim Sher Harto Bayom Olu Al Mishkovcha Ubo Lecha Bechalom. So Daniel tells the king, that's Nebuchadnezzar, that the thoughts that he has during the day are the ones that are going to go up with him, to go on top of the bed with him, take him to sleep, and eventually they'll appear in a dream. So it means that the dreams that a person sees come as a result, are generated by the herhurim that he had during the day. And I'll bring you another source, forgetting about the Pasuk Daniel, Ibois Ema Mehacha. If you'd like, I'll bring you a different Pasuk, also in Sefer Daniel. And that is because Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, V'ra'ayonai libcha tin da, that the thoughts that you have, which are called rayonot in Hebrew, maharba and bayom, you think about it during the day, hodiacha osam bechalom, they will come in front of you during a dream. Amar Rava Teda, I'm going to try to prove to you that a person's dream is a result of what he's thinking about during the day. D'lo machvu leili inish, we don't show to a person's chalom lo dikla de dahava, not a date tree that's made of gold, v'lo pila de ya'ayil, and not a gigantic elephant that goes into kupa de machta, that could be placed into the eye of a needle. And if a behechrek shalafi shalo hurgal liros tove, since he doesn't see these things during the day, you know, he's not going to see a golden date tree or an elephant going into the needle, the eye of a needle, and therefore he's not mahar them, then he'll never see this in a dream. And now we can turn to daf nunvav amid al.
No.
Amale Kesar, so the Caesar of Rome sees Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Hanani, and he says to him, Amrisu dechachomim tuva. You know, as they say about the people of Israel, that they have a lot of scholars. Shehidam chachomim b'yosra, and your scholarship, your wisdom exceeds that of other nations. And if that be the case, you're a chacham, emoli my chazi b'chalmoi. Can you tell me what I will see in my dream in the upcoming night? Now, this is a little bit odd, that just because you're a wise person, does that mean that we expect that you'll be able to anticipate what somebody's going to dream in the next night? And we're going to soon see that Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Hananya responded to Kesar based on the fact that there were things that he thought about during the day. And as a result of those herhurim during the day, he dreamt about them at night. Now for that you need a certain extra chachma to realize carefully the nature of man and to understand that what what a person is excited about, and therefore have a dream about it, is something that he thinks about during the day, he's going to dream about it at night. And that's called, in the language of the Kesar, dechachmisu tuva, that you have acquired a great deal of chachma. And now can you tell me, based on that wisdom, what am I going to dream tonight? Amar leis, Rabbi Yeshua said to the Caesar, chazes demeshachrei lecha parsoi. In your dream you're going to see that the Persians, shehincha sharui b'revia, now you're in a battle with them, is they will work you, yavidu oscha b'avodos hatzrichos lamalkom, and they're going to make you work for their king, v'garvi bach, which literally in Hebrew means they will yishodadu oscha, meaning they'll rip your money away from you, and v'ichu mimcha es mamoncha, v'rai bach, they will give you roim are shepherds, shichse bechutra didava, and these are staffs that are made of gold. Now, it's a little bit odd because until this point, this was a very negative kind of dream, and that Nebuchadnezzar would see his working for the Persians and how much they're going to empty him out from anything, any possessions he has. And now they will give you the roi. Roi, I think, means to shepherd. So you'll have to shepherd shikze ashkotzim, but b'makel shel zav, with a staff of gold. It's very, very, very enigmatic kind of complex dream, because shikzi are something that's disgusting, maybe swine. And the Derech HaMelachim, that I'm reading to you, the Ben Yoyada here on this Gemara, he says, Derech HaMelachim b'milchamtom hi shel yachar shamelch nitzeach melech acher eino mevato malchusel gamri el menichol emloch al amo kifi shayar konon lachem v'rak matil of mas kotzu v'zeh shepotelo shemeshachrei lecha parsoi b'shachrei loch parsoi haynu sheyichbuchshu oscha, the Persians will conquer you, v'tishoyer tachas yonam, you'll be subjugated to them, but v'roi boch shichtzi. And who are these shichtzi? This is an allusion to the Romans, which are generally represented symbolically by the chazir, like we saw by Esav, he's the father of Rome. And b'chutzit hava, haynu shetie memune ligvos avur malchus paras me'es haromim mas besach katsum shel zehuvim, that you will be a tax collector on behalf of the king of Persia, and you will have to raise the funds or collect the funds for the kingship of Paras from the Romans. And I'm going to give you a very definite amount, a sum of money that you will have to raise, and this money will be translated into zehuvim, gold coins. So you'll get the message about how much you have to raise. And all this is what you're going to raise by pressuring the Romans to pay that tax. So the Gemara says that's exactly what happened. The Kesar Hirhir Kule Yoma, the whole day, he was thinking about the words of Rabbi Yeshua Reb Chananya. And Uli Arta, when he went to sleep at night, Chaza means he saw this all in a dream. So this is really interesting, because it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Chananya was able to influence the Kesar of Rome as to what dream he would have by telling him what's going to be in the dream. That caused the Kesar to have these thoughts, and the whole day he was musing over these thoughts, and as a result he actually had that dream. That was the dream that he had. Amalei Shvarmalka, Shvarmalka is the king of Paras, Lishmuel, Amrisu dechachmisu tuva. They say that your chachamim and amongst the people of Israel are very, very brilliant wise men. If that be the case, Emoli my chazina belchamoy, tell me what I will see tonight in my dream. Amalei, Shmuel says to Shvarmalka, Chazis ti asu romoy v'shavulach. You see that in your dream that the Romans are coming and they will take you captive. V'tachini v'tachni bach kashisa berechaya didava. And they will force you to do work in the mill to, let's say, grind different things in the mill, amongst them garine tmarim, which are the pits from the date tree. Berechaim shel zahav, but the mill that you'll be used to work with is gold. So the Gemara says that's exactly what happened. And Shvarmalka hirir kule yoma, right, this melech, this king, thought about these ideas the entire day. And as a result, le'urta chaza le'erev, le'urta, he goes back, he sees this in his dream. And even this story that the Gemara is explaining here, she'ein marim lo li'odav v'chalom el mihirhurei libo, this is another expression or another case in point of this principle that we saw, that that a person will see in his dream that which he thinks about by day. Okay, now we have somebody by the name of Bar Hedya, and Mefashel Chama, he was an interpreter of dreams. Yeah, it sounds like, we have today, I don't see it here so much, but I remember in other countries I saw they have these palm readers, you know?
Right.
And the crystal ball and all that stuff. This is kind of like a professional dream interpreter. You know, you put up a shingle, he probably had a degree, maybe in Chinese medicine, I don't know what he had, but some sort of diploma that said that he was officially recognized as a dream interpreter. And the approach of Bar Hedya was man deyoev le agra, if someone would pay him up front as a down payment for the pitaron chalom, to interpret the dreams, is mefashale lemal yusa, he had a famous reputation of being on target, and he would interpret the dreams in a very good way. But if somebody did not pay him for his pitaron chalom, he would interpret it in a negative way. So I don't know who this Bar Hedya was, but he sounds like a money grubber to me. This is not like one of the 24 interpreters of dreams in Yerushalayim. Let's just see if we can figure out who this Hedya guy is, Bar Hedya. Nope, he doesn't say anything. He just says he's an interpreter of dreams. And let's just see if he points out anything that we can use. A person tends to see in dreams that which he recently was thinking about. And so it was. The Caesar, evidently preoccupied with the vivid and horrible vision crafted by Rabbi Yeshua, actually saw in his dream exactly as Rabbi Yeshua had predicted it. Okay, so that's what we have over here. Abai Verova Chazu Chalma. Abai Verova saw the same dreams, and they went together to this Bar Hedya fellow. Again, I'm still not clear if he was on the up and up. Kidei lift olam osa. Abai yoivle zuza. Abai decided, I better pay this guy off. Rav lo yoivle. Rav was still a skeptic. He didn't want to pay him. So therefore, Bar Hedya na kidarko, in his regular way, these were his, you know, the rules by which he played the game, and that is that even though Abaye v'Rava both dreamt the same dreams, nevertheless, for Abaye, who paid him, he would be willing to interpret the dreams. But for Rava, who didn't pay him, he would not interpret the dreams. But again, it seems that they both had the same dream. So in this case, you know, Rava could take a piggyback ride on Abaye's back. So the first dream that they saw was, again, we're talking about Abaye and Rava, who came in front of Bar Hedja, Amri Lei Akrinan Bechelmin. Now I'm trying to figure out what the word akrinon means. You have a translation of akrinon to read? In other words, he was called upon by Bar Hedja, or they called upon Bar Hedja to read the dreams. Or shall we say, let's say it this way, akrinon bechelmin. Let's see, just one second.
So again,
go ahead.
They're saying in our dream, read to us like the following passage.
So let's see, I'm trying to figure out who's the they over here. It says Bar Hedja was the interpreter. Abaye gave him a Zeus, Rava didn't pay him. And then it says, Akrinan Bechelma. Oh, they're telling over now the dream.
Their dream.
Their dream to this Bar Hedja guy. And what do they say? They say that in our dream, they read to us, which I guess means the Malach or whoever's the Balach HaChalomos, read to us the Pasuk in Chumash, in Dvarim. It says, Sharcha Tavuach Le'enecha. This is one of the terrible things that's going to happen to the Jewish people in exile. Sharcha Tavuach Le'enecha. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes. The Rava Amar Le'enecha. Bar Hedja, I guess, said to him, Pasid Iskach, your business will fail. Now, I didn't know Rav had a business. Okay, that's a chiddush to me. V'lo ahanile lemechal mi'utzba delibach. Because of the sorrow you're in, you will not be able to eat. You have no appetite. And this is the pasuk of Shorcha Tavuach Le'necha, which is a very, anguish-causing dream. Actually, it's not a dream, it's a pasuk in Chumash, as we said before, but it foretells, it's a klol for telling the future. Is the Rava Amarle, now Bar Hedja says to Rava, Pasid iskecha, your business will fail. So that's really exciting, you know, that he tells Rava your business will fail. V'lo ahani l'cha l'mechal mi'utzva delibcha. You will not have any interest, any appetite in eating. L'abaye omarle, Marvach iskecha, your business will profit, will prosper. V'lo ahani lach l'mechal mi'chedva delibach. Which means that on account of your heart's great joy, you will have no interest in eating. Oh, I see. In other words, this Bar Hedja is telling Rava that he won't be able to eat because he'll be in a state of depression, and Abaye won't be able to eat because he's going to be in an intense state of happiness and joy. None of them will be focused on eating. They're so, you know, they're so emotional. Now he quotes here Ritva, why Rav and Abaye seem to have easily accepted the notion that the dream means a different thing for each and every one of them. And this
Isn't
question...
Isn't that because one paid?
What do you say?
Isn't that because one paid him and he would interpret it favorably if you paid him, and if you didn't, you would interpret it negatively.
Yeah, let me just think again. You're right, but the problem is that they both had the identical dream. So how could it be that the same dream means two different things for two different people? That's a little bit confusing.
I think isn't that the whole point that it's
that what the same dream?
Whatever you dream, he interprets good. If you don't pay him, he interprets it negatively. So Dafka, they could both have the same dream, and because one paid and one didn't, interpretation is good for one and not good for the other.
I guess according to the Ritva, he would understand that Hakol Holech Achar Peh, and the interpretation will determine the dream, but that's only that interpretation for that dream. You know, every dream gets one interpretation, but you can't take the one dream and say, well, Hakol Holech Achar Peh, in two different ways, depending upon who's asking the question and who paid him or didn't pay him. That's the Ritva's understanding. He thinks that he doesn't understand why Abai Varava just went on. You know, they didn't question and wonder about the fact that there was an inconsistency in the interpretation of the dreams. One, you know, vis-a-vis Abai, it was favorable, and vis-a-vis Rava, it was unfavorable. That's the Ritva. Now, the Ritva apparently suggests an answer that Ben Yehoyada spoke privately to Abaye and then privately to Rava, whatever the sequence was, and neither of them heard the dream interpretations that were given to the other. So what does that mean? So how could you have one dream? So he took them separately, privately, and neither one of them heard the dream so in other words, this Ben Hodaya gave one interpretation to Rav in privacy and another to Abai in privacy, and Abai and Rav were unaware of what the other person's dream interpretation was. And how does this answer the Ritva's question? Ah, right. How could it be that a dream means a different thing for each of them? Just a second. So again, the Ritva is saying that Abai Varav accepted the notion that the dream means a different thing for each of them. That they accepted. I mean, that was the point that I had trouble with, but apparently Abai Varav didn't have any problem with it. So why didn't they have a problem with it? That the same dream could mean two different things for two different people. Let's see where we're up to here. Okay. Now, the Gemara says that Rava received a curse in this interpretation. The pasid iska, his business will fall apart. There'll be some sort of stock market crash. Flohani le lemechel meutzva delibach, and he was so depressed about it that Rava that he couldn't eat anything. He had no appetite. And Abai was just the opposite. The mirvach askach iskach, and you'll be so wealthy. So he became overwhelmed with joy. Flohani le lemechel michedva delibach. But he was so excited that he couldn't eat anything. I think I once saw on television they have this massive lottery,
right?
And they showed you on the TV. They brought like to interview the people who won the lottery. And I think one of them said that after that period of time they couldn't eat for hours, maybe for days. Yeah, you know, whenever you're in a very intense emotional state, you can't focus on eating. You don't have a desire to eat. Now Abai Varav have a different dream, and again they come in front of our Hadoya, but here the story is different. Amri Le Akrinon, they showed us, Amrile, I don't know why they use the plural, maybe there's more than one Malach, or maybe because there's both Abai and Rava, so you know, each one, Abai and Rava, had another Malach conveying the dream, but everything was done in sync. And they said that there's a pasuk that we have to read before we can interpret the dream, and that's Banim Ubanos Tolid V'lo Yelcha Loch Ki Yelchu Bashevi. So again, it's very interesting. This dream was nothing more than a quote of a pasuk. It doesn't seem that there was anything besides just quoting a pasuk. So we have to find the deeper meaning in this pasuk and what message it's conveying to each one of the two of the Balei Chalom. Others say that. He says like this, L'Rava Amar Lei, Bar Hedges says to Rava that the interpretation of your dream is Kikibushute, Kivishute. What does that mean, Kivishute?
That we're taken captive by something.
Shekarlo b'chalomo, sheyizkayim b'pshuto, sheyizbak yichbishu osam. That his children, his daughters and his sons will be taken for Shevi, for captive. Umidamyon biapoch kidikra ozil b'shivya. And your daughters will lift you up and take and go out of the house. Via David Nidme Lefon of Kilu Holchu Beshevi, Ukidire Apostle Shekorulacha Bechalomcha Shebenosecha Yelchu Beshevi. So just one second. Let's go through it. Rava, the message that Rava got from this Pasuk was that his children, both male and female, will be captured. That's called lira'aso.
That's a bad message.
Yeah, that's a bad message because his children will go into exile. They'll be captured as,
right,
you know, as slaves, right, maybe. Now, Baye got a different interpretation, and that's your children, grandchildren, nefishe, will be very large in number, multitudes. Uminsavon binasach li olma means your daughters will be married off li alma, I guess, to different suitors, each one. Umidamyon bi apa kidika ozal
b'shivya. I think they'll be married off to people from other parts of the country. This is our large archival. So it'll seem like they're in captivity.
Uh-huh.
So, again, the idea is one gets good and the other gets bad.
So, Abai is getting a good tidings?
Yeah, he's getting good tidings. They'll marry people. They'll be from other parts of the country, so it will seem like they're in captivity. But they're not really in captivity. You have a large family. Rava gets a bad tiding that they really will be in captivity. They'll be
right in
Kivishu, say.
I'll just read to you the Masifta says Hatam Shehizkir Gam Banav Yu Merubim, right? It says Banach Ubnasach Nefishe. There'll be great multitudes. Af Shirak Habanos Yinasu Lacherim V'yetsu V'beis. So even though the main thrust of the interpretation is that his daughters will get married and they'll go out of the house. Lefimin Hagam Haya Shehabanim Anesuim Dorim V'beis Aviyim. This is wild, that the male children who get married would live in the house of their father. Dafka, the male children. Very interesting. That's not really the way it goes today. Vabonos, Enon Doros, Bebeis Avir, they leave their husband, their father's house, and I guess they go into the house of the of their spouse, right, of the spouse. And in the case of the boys, the groom, he'll stay close to home. So therefore, when it says over here, Minsavan Banasli Alma, he's saying the daughters will go out of the house after they get married. They'll leave the house after they get married. Okay, I mean, what can I say? I'm not exactly clear as to what the Gemara wants to convey to us here. I mean, are we meant to walk away from this Gemara understanding that the descendants of Rava will actually go into captivity? I mean, did go into captivity. I don't know. Is this Bar Hedja for real? And if he is, then maybe Chas v'Shalom, this is a really sad interpretation on behalf of Rava, and that's what's going to happen. Let me just see if by chance he comments anything here in the English. He says Bar Hedja would interpret the person's dream auspiciously if he paid up front. Fine. Rava didn't get any money, and the dream that he got was Sharcha Tavuach Le'necha, your ox decided for another. Rav Amale, so Bar Hedja tells Rava, Pasid Iskha, your business will fail, and you won't have any interest in eating. Abai says, he tells him your business will profit. I didn't know that Abai and Rava were into business. I guess they must have had a geschäft of some sort. All right. And he says, in the second case, you will bear sons and daughters. And he interprets it to Rava to mean your children will be taken away from you by marauders. And Rabbi Omar, your sons will be many, and your daughters will get married to husbands from other parts of the world. And since they will live so far away, it will seem to you as if they had gone into captivity. I don't know, that's just, I guess, a way of linking up to the dream itself, because in the dream itself, the pasuk that was read to them was Banimu Banos Tolid. Oh, I know what this is. This is the reading for Tisha B'Av. Let's just see if I'm right about this. It says the following. Let me just... it says... Where is it? I lost the place. It says in the Pasuk... One second. How come I'm having trouble finding this Pasuk? Am I on the wrong page? Just one second. Sorry. Banecha ubnosecha nesunim liam achid. Is that the pasuk that we were reading here? Just one second. I probably turned the page here. Oh, banim ubanos tolid v'lo yeloch v'lo yuloch ki elchu bashevi. Ah, this is in the Klolos. Which close is this? Is in Kitavo? Let me see if that's right. Where is the Torah Or, my good friend? He says, "Banimu banos tolid v'lo yulach ki yelchu bashevi." Yeah, I have a feeling that's Parshas Kitavo. So the fulfillment of that pasuk in the case of Rava, it seems like that Rava's descendants would actually go into exile. Is that what it says over here? Banimonos toliv lo yilchaki elchubashevi. It sounds like they'll be captured. I don't know. I'm afraid to say that this actually took place. It came to fruition, but that's the impression I get here. Nobody in front of me seems to say this explicitly. All right, now we have another dream. Abai Varava dreamt and they came in front of Bar-Hedja to tell them the dream. They must have held that Bar-Hedja was the real deal. You know, he was the real interpreter. Akroyon, they read a different pasuk. Vanecha ubnosecha nesunim liam achra. Oh, that's also in the Tochacha in Parshas Ki Tovo. So Labaya Omale, Bar-Hedja says, Vanecha ubnosecha nefishim, that we already saw. They'll have multitudes of grandchildren, granddaughters, grandsons. At Amrit Likrevach, you'll tell your relatives Sheinasu Likrovecha. I don't know, it sounds like maybe they're going to marry cousins, they're going to marry cousins. Vehi Amro Likreva, and your wife will say to your relatives, V'atfoloch V'yavas Lahon Likreva, Ishtecha Techpeoscha Lasos Kidvarea, V'tasiem Likrove Ishtecha. The Havi Ka'am Acher. So the Krovim of Ishtecha are like a different nation in their eyes. So this is the interpretation given to Abaye. So it's a positive interpretation. In other words, he transformed the Pasuk, which is a Klola, Banechu B'nasecha Nesun Liam Acher, as a Bracha. And why is that a Bracha? Because the Krovim will be so strange to you that it'll look like you have given off your daughters to marry them off to a different nation. But in truth, it's not a different nation. So he was able to sort of mitigate the negative part of the dream. L'Rava Amarle, however, to Rava he says, "Debisu shchiva, your wife will die. V'asu bane ubnosaya lide." Isisa Achriti. And your children, your boys and girls will come under the control of another woman that you're going to marry, a second woman to replace your first wife, and she'll raise them. And that's considered as if you're Voliam Acher. I'm not sure, this is not a good dream that you're, you know, your wife will die, and then you'll remarry another woman, and right. She'll raise your children, and they'll be even. It sounds like even your children will be kind of foreign to you because they're being raised by a stepmother. I don't know. I'm not sure about. Fine, and now. So this pasuk, which it says here, "Vanecha v'nosecha nesunim liam acher," so that'll be interpreted in two different ways, one for Abai, one for Abba. And then he says, "How do I know that if your children are being raised by a stepmother, that then they're not going to be close to you? They'll be like Am Acher, as if you married them off to a different nation." The Omer Rava, Omer Bimri Bar Omer Rav, Maidich Siv. What does it mean when it says Bonecho V'nosecha Nesunim Li Am Acher? Which is again a pasuk, I think, in Kisavo. We have to get out of Chumash just to make sure I'm right here. Zo Eishes Ha'ov, which is a stepmother. So it means that the pasuk means that Benecho v'neisecha yu nesuna biyad eishes ha'av. In other words, the second wife of the father, which we call a stepmother. V'hainu sheyigdulu eitzel eishes ha'av she'enom imon. They'll be raised by the wife of their father, which means their stepmother, and that's not their mother. So I'm just a little bit confused here. After we brought this pasuk and we gave two interpretations, that was Bar-Hedja, right? One for Rav and one for Abaye. Now he ends up by quoting another statement that is traceable back to Rav, that when it says Bonechu b'nosechem asunim liam acher zo eishes av. So why does he attach that to this Gemara. So it seems like maybe he's reinterpreting the phrase Am Acher. Right? What again? Does the pasuk say Am Acher? Let me just get the pasuk. It says in the pasuk Barnecha Ubnosecha Nesunim Li Am Acher. So everything focuses here, hinges on Am Acher. So what does Am Acher mean? It sounds like it's a reference to other nations, correct? That's what usually Am Acher would mean. The simple pshat in Am Acher.
No, then it says Zoe Sharam, no?
So I think what's happening here is, I don't know if this is Rav is reinterpreting the pasuk that Ashes Av, I guess the children that are raised by a stepmother are kind of like foreigners. They're like an Am Acher. And that was the curse, and the Gemara is quoting this to explain the curse that Bar Heja found in this pasuk for Rava. Okay, another dream. Both Abai and Rava had a dream, and they came from Abai Hejam. Akrinan bechelmin, the pasuk that we saw in our dream was from Koheles. Lech echol besimcha lachamecha. Go eat your.
They have a note here that if Rava's interpretation was like kind of supporting his interpretation of the negativity of the dream. That's why they're quoting Rava.
Right.
So Arshah says that Rava looked at it like a remarriage with a new mother is like the children are being raised by a foreign, kind of a foreign individual, basically like bondage. So it looks like Rava looked at a subsequent marriage as a very negative thing, and that's why to him it was kind of a curse. And his own interpretation supports it.
Right. Excellent. Okay, now this pasuk in Koheles, Lech echol besimcha lachmecha. This seems to sound like a much more positive pasuk. Let's see what happens here. La'abaya omerlei, Bar Heja interprets it for Abaya, Dimarva dimaravach iskecha. Your business dealings will flourish. V'achalta v'shasisa besimcha. You'll eat and you'll drink with joy. V'karisa psuka May chedva dilibecha. You'll be able to read this pasuk from a standpoint of simcha saleh. But l'rava amalei Bar Heja says, pasid iskecha. Your business will fail. Tavchas v'lo achalta v'shasisi. You'll shecht an animal in order to eat it, but you'll be so overwhelmed by tsar because of the loss of your business. Is therefore you won't be able to eat or drink. V'lo achlas v'shasis. You'll have no appetite. V'karisa l'fachuche pachtecha. And you read this pasuk in order to l'hafig es dagasecha. Now l'hafig here means to mollify or neutralize your state of daiga, of fear. So the Marsha asks the question, if the pitaron of Bar Heja isn't it a little bit far from the simple meaning of the pasuk? The pasuk doesn't have any single allusion or even a hint to the fact that either they'll gain money in the business or lose money in the business. That's the Marsha's question. So the Marsha is going to offer a different interpretation of this Gemara. But before we get to that, let's just see. Just one second. Let me just see what he says. To mitigate your anxiety, you will recite this hopeful verse. So this is a little bit strange because until now, the interpretation of Bar Heja for Rava was always very, very depressing. He writes here, this verse will not represent a reality for you, but a distant hope. While you're impoverished, you will recite it and pray that your lot will improve. The Marsha adds that it was then the custom for people to recite this optimistic verse to those who experienced misfortune so as to console them and offer them hope for the future. Now let's just think. Why?
That's from, we just read, that's from Archibald?
Yeah. And he says that this is going to somehow, console Rava in his impoverished state. And that's the hopeful verse over here. But I don't know, I just find it a little strange that that Bar-Hedja would sort of recommend a consolation for Rav, because until now it didn't sound like he was offering too many consoling words. But I have here in the Masifta, he quotes a Marsha. He says, "Kavanas Bar-Hedja haisa lomar lahem she'es ikar achalom shachachtem." You forgot the main point of the dream. You forgot to tell me that in your dream you were making a crash. You were really successfully, you know, selling your stuff. Financially, you were very successful. They had both, Abai and Rav, have forgotten the main points of the dream, namely that either Abai successful in business and Rav was a total failure. Lachem kara pasuk zeh b'chalomo kidei lafig pachdo v'tzaro. That the main reason that Rav, so to speak, read this pasuk, or the Malach read this pasuk to Rav in his dream, is in order to reduce and mitigate his tzar. And if you take a look at Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha, which is exactly this pasuk that we're saying it appeared in the dream. Let me just double check that for a second. Yeah, Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha is Le'ovel. Just one second. Oh, I see. If you take the first letter of each of these four words, so you get Lamed, Aleph, Beis, and Lamed. Okay, what time is it now? Let me see if we're late on the clock. Yeah. Okay, so let's just see where we got up to over here on Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph. So what we have here is the interpretation of Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha. And again, we left it with one question here about why Bar-Hedja in this particular case gave Rava some sort of consolation. It doesn't, you know, he says, V'karisa levachuche pachdecha. Not sure why exactly he offered him that extra interpretation.